Nothing seems to me less likely than that a scientist or mathematician who reads me should be seriously influenced in the way he works. This is not merely a matter of the scientist's intellectual laziness. It is agonizing to have to interpret one's work to learn a new discipline, but scientists do it when we have to. At various times, I've managed to take time off from what I was doing to learn all sorts of things I needed to know, from differential topology to Microsoft DOS. It is just that a knowledge of philosophy does not seem to be of use to physicists, always with the exception that the work of some philosophers helps us to avoid the errors of other philosophers. It is only fair to admit my limitations and biases in making this judgment. After a few years' infatuation with philosophy as an undergraduate, I became disenchanted. The insights of the philosophers I studied seemed murky and inconsequential, compared with the dazzling successes of physics and mathematics. From time to time, since then, I have tried to read current work on the philosophy of science. Some of it I found to be written in a jargon so impenetrable that I can only think that it aimed at impressing those who confound obscurity with profundity. Some of it was good reading and even witty, like the writings of Wittgenstein and Paul Feyerbend, but only rarely did it seem to me to have anything to do with the work of science as I knew it. According to Feyerbend, the notion of scientific explanation, developed by some philosophers of science, is so narrow that it is impossible to speak of one theory being explained by another, a view that would leave my generation of particle physicists with nothing to do. It may seem to the reader, especially if the reader is a professional philosopher, that a scientist who is as out of tune with the philosophy of science as I am should tiptoe gracefully past the subject and leave it to experts. I know how philosophers feel about attempts by scientists at amateur philosophy, but I do not aim here to play the role of a philosopher, but rather that of a specimen, an unregenerate working scientist who finds no help in professional philosophy. I'm not alone in this. I know of no one who has participated actively in the advance of physics in the post-war period whose research has been significantly helped by the work of philosophers. I raised in the previous chapter the problem of what Wigner calls the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics. Here I want to take up another equally puzzling phenomenon, the unreasonable ineffectiveness of philosophy. Even where philosophical doctrines have in the past been useful to scientists, they have generally lingered on too long, becoming of more harm than ever they were of use. Take, for example, the venerable doctrine of mechanism, the idea that nature operates through pushes and pulls of material particles or fluids. In the ancient world, no doctrine could have been more progressive.